broadcast of the emergency alert system.
This music, I'm monkey behind, all jacked up now.
Having a lot of fun over there.
Like where?
Over at the 100.7
News.
Oh, well, yeah, over there. Isn't it? There we go.
What's the idea of fun over there at 100.2? Like someone comes to turn them over?
I'm talking about the other people.
I never go into the hall.
I know you don't.
There's like upsetting people out there. But here, right here, right here, we don't... That's
always
the thing.
Here.
It's so much fun right here in the studio. We don't really need to go anywhere else.
No.
Why ever leave, I say?
Well, I went over to say hi to somebody.
I could get my feeding tube moved in here. I'd never leave the studio. I suppose I'd have to leave when Buddy's doing his show and...
Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea.
Roy and Debbie, things like that.
We wouldn't want you.
Let me just say, you know, this is all announced to great fanfare a little while ago. I mean, a few months ago, this Channel 3 was going to stay in Hartford. They'd found a parcel for them. And they were going to... There was going to be this kind of complicated swap where the city, which owns the parcel, was going to sell a 3.2-acre site to Channel 3 for $800,000 and then take possession of the Constitution Plaza facility. And I believe the city also would get the contract of Jeff Cole or something. I don't really know what it's happening.
Maybe they don't need as much room at Channel 61 as they do at Channel 3.
Yeah.
Why, I would have no idea why that would be the case. What is that?
This is this book I really want to read this weekend, and then I think we should get this woman on. You will find this interesting, too.
Oh, no.
It's called somebody lent this book to me today. It's called Animals in Translation. I've known about Temple Grandin for a long time. Temple Grandin is autistic, but she's got a PhD in what is she in animal science from the University of Illinois, and she's a specialist because of her condition. She feels that she can understand what animals are thinking better. And actually, the people who employed her the most, oddly enough, is the slaughterhouse industry, because she figured out how to design what scares cows and what doesn't scare cows and stuff like that. She has like 18 different things.
Death might be a good start.
The cows don't necessarily know they're going to die. You know, they're not briefed about this, but there are things that freak them out. And she was able to figure out what 18 of them were, and she worked for the industry to get rid of those things. Sometimes it's just like a chain that's hanging down somewhere. She feels that she can kind of see the world that way. And this is a book, I've just been leaping through it, and it really is just fascinating. That she just has kind of this natural inclination to try to perceive the world the way that animals do. I mean, there's just on every page of them I'm reading here, there's interesting stuff, including just stuff about the vision of dogs. I've always seen the dog thing from the eyesight, but I've never really seen anybody spell it out for me before.
Like most, this is not that like that person we had in here that claimed they could actually talk to him.
No, this isn't like this. But for example, she says that most dogs have, typical dogs have a visual acuity of 20/75, which means the dog stands 20 feet away to clearly see an object a person with normal vision sees well standing 75 feet away. She sort of points out that, for example, dogs don't see small things. A dog doesn't see any object as sharply as a person does, including an object that's right under his nose. That's why it's so hard for dogs to see a piece of kibble you dropped on the floor for them to eat. If they didn't watch it fall, most dogs can't see it lying on a mottled-colored tile floor of some cat.
What about cats? Anything about cats?
I haven't said the cats yet. I just got this book a few hours ago. But all I can do just to not be through it right now.
I'm going to write a book about cats.
About cats on it. But I'm sure there's things about cats in
it. I've seen some stuff that just...
But I'm just wondering whether... I mean, first of all, I've always been very interested in Temple Grandin because I tend to be very interested when anybody from the autism spectrum is, you know, showing certain talents and perceptions and stuff like that. Because he's going to suggest that I may be myself maybe somewhere on that spectrum. I wonder whether she would come on the show.
You're already on the spectrum, we have
In the index, it says cat. Affective aggression gene, detailed scaring, extreme perception of, predatory behavior of, sexual behavior of, socialization to other animals of.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I just saw those working for, they were only veggies.
Well, we have to look up the names of Channel 3 sports people because we never heard of them before.
No, that's not right.
Certainly, it's true, though.
Well, I knew Dana and John.
I never heard of these people. I know you, and I know Kevin, and I know people like that. I never heard of these people.
Wow.
Who are they?
Dina Falco and John Holt are the sports people.
I like that for Stephanie.
Contos is very nice. She's great. Good lady. We have a strong team here at 30, except we get that.
Dina's into you.
That definitely doesn't make any sense to you.
Think of the position we're in.
Yeah. Well,
Are you ready for Ask Mr. Ambrosio?
I'm always ready for Ask Mr. Ambrosio.
The physiological.
Oh, I love that. I did so well at school in that.
Dear Mr. Ambrosio, yes. Why do we blush when we are embarrassed?
Basically, blushing comes from a reaction from, it actually, and this is kind of unusual, it stirs from a reaction in our loins.
Mm-hmm.
And because normally when people say stuff that makes us blush, it forces us to, you know, kind of, I can't answer this because there's no way to delicately put this, but it's just, it flows upwards.
Blood that was located in our loins then moves
up to the face, right, and sometimes it's emitted through the nasal passage, but most of the time it just shows up as a crimson red on the face. I'd like to be more explicit, but I can't on family radio.
I'd like you to be more explicit.
That's why I can't.
What's your question about?
Well, Abby, close the eyes back. Can't trust the FBI for nothing.
Bobby, you can talk to Ron and see if he's got some other material, but we're not going to talk to him about the Husky plan. We're all tired of talking about the Husky plan, and even if we weren't tired about talking about the Husky plan, we wouldn't talk to Ron about
we're
it.
We're talking to Ron.
Stubborn head in a baking dish. But, you know, you can get on the line with him, see if he's got anything better than that. Meanwhile, I'd like to say something about Volt. You know what a vole is, right? You grew up in the country.
Yeah, I think so.
In some kind of small burrow.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly. Well, if you've ever wondered whether, you know how they put, like, radio collars on certain kinds of animals? And then we'll go right to the opium thing, which I have a copy of, but I must have put my copy down somewhere. Dan is all jacked up about that thing, so. Well, very quickly about the voles. They're putting radio collars on voles because, of course, we're dying to know what voles do and where they go. What are their movements? What are their activities? And we need to know this, obviously. I don't know why we give a rat specifically where voles go, but we do. But it turns out that since we've got a collar with a 10-centimeter... They're doing this radio tracking, and for some reason or other, females fitted with a collar produce nearly five times as many male offspring as females. What I'm saying is, you know, you just got to be careful what you're doing. To put a radio collar on something, it's not like it's the same something anymore. Strange things can happen.
Yeah,
unintended consequences. And unintended consequences.
Congress by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice on behalf of our fine president.
So basically what we're saying is that since we took control of Afghanistan, we've enabled them to be current. The whole thing about how opium is a bumper crop in Afghanistan, thanks to our good work. You know, the kind of thing people don't want you to know.
Oh, and the cranky guy in the lobby, too.
Oh, we have an extra minute.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
With that soft cast.
Yeah. That wouldn't hurt.
It was hard enough for me to make my getaway.
Yeah, that's, I think,
somehow.
I'm slowing down a little bit.
Somehow I figured it tied into you somehow.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, I'm on the floor.
Cloud him with that heavy cast.
My heavy old cast. You know, the one I had
old
before.
Sure. Oh. You were a killer salamander larva. You were a destroying machine. Back as we wanted to thank, actually. We'd like to thank Mr. Ambrosio in his far-flung location. We'd like to thank our very fine producer, Mr. Bobby Sherwood.